It's Thursday, July 29th. Bosses are getting sick of unvaccinated workers, including the boss with 2 million employees. We start here. President Biden is about to tell federal workers they've got to get a COVID shot or else.
If you don't have a vaccine, you're going to have to get tested regularly. You're going to have to follow social distancing rules.
There's one group of workers not necessarily covered here. So how far is the White House willing to go? Infrastructure Week finally happened, we think.
The total price tag for this bill is $1.1 trillion over 8 years.
A huge moment that could change your commute, your job, and your internet connection. And it's a concerning sight. It's even more concerning to our lungs.
It is plaguing. It saturates you.
Why escalating wildfires could leave the entire country fuming. From ABC News, this is Start Here. I'm Brad Milkey.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hello, Ann Flaherty, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, okay, thank you for taking my call on late notice. It's just that I know you cover government agencies for ABC News, right?
Right.
And so you cover the CDC and all this guidance on masks and vaccines. Like, you've been our point person. And I feel like everyone's got questions in the last 48 hours because of some new guidance from the CDC and the Biden administration. If I played you a piece of tape that has a lot of questions, would you just answer them for me?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so this is Chip Roy. He's a GOP congressman who, I mean, this was a snarky speech that he gave on the floor of Congress, but I do think like there are actually lots of questions here that people might want to know the answer to. So stop me when you hear something that you know the answer to.
I'm game.
Okay, cool. Let's try it.
We got to go around and see, okay, we can't come to the floor. I can't execute my constitutional duty unless I wear a mask. Well, which is it? Vaccines or masks?
Stop. Both. It's get vaccinated and then wear a mask if you're indoors in an area where you might be around other unvaccinated people and with high transmission rates.
Okay.
So both.
So both.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep playing the tape then.
The vaccines work or they don't work?
Oh, wait. They do. I want to make that clear. Yes, they work. Nothing is 100%, but boy, do they work.
Do the masks work or they don't work? I'd like to know which it is.
Stop there. They work, but particularly well with universal compliance. So protection is not as good as a vaccine with masks, but masks absolutely work. And that's been verified in multiple studies. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, man, we got questions, you got answers. Okay.
I'd like Dr. Fauci to come down and answer a single question about natural immunity. Have you been infected with a virus? Do you have immunity?
We got to stop here because this is one of my favorites, and this is talked about a lot. The answer is you probably have some immunity, but nobody knows how much. So natural immunity actually varies quite a bit. If you were infected last year, particularly if you had mild symptoms, you might not have enough protection. So you have to get at least one vaccine shot. Okay, carry on.
Or are they just going to go around poking people, saying you must take a vaccine?
Okay, wait, I got to stop you again, because the Biden administration has said repeatedly it won't mandate vaccines. They've been very clear on that. They have no interest in that.
Oh, but sorry, the vaccine doesn't work. You must wear a mask.
Oh, wait. So the vaccines do work, and you might still have to wear a mask. They work over 90%. So the mask just helps protect you from potentially spreading it. And it's like wearing seatbelts or driving sober. You know, safety mandates are not uncommon in the United States.
Well, not uncommon in Congress either, right? And that's basically where he ends it.
This institution is a sham, and we should adjourn and shut this place down.
And I'm not going to ask you to fact check us on when Congress is allowed to shut down. So that was pretty much all my questions. Wow, this was helpful. This could just be the podcast from now on. Thank you very much, Anne.
Yeah, thank you, Brad.
Now, there have been questions and frustration over COVID for a long time. But the reason you heard this seem to boil over yesterday were two things. One was the return of something old. Guidance from the CDC saying in areas where the Delta variant is spreading, all residents, even vaccinated residents, should be wearing masks indoors.
The CDC also recommending kids and teachers return to school in the fall with everyone masked, even if they're vaccinated, a reverse from guidance given just 2 weeks ago.
Which meant all the stuff we've been talking about for months, people hosting big gatherings again, offices asking their workers to come back, a lot of that changed in an instant.
Google and Facebook are now the first big tech firms to require employees be vaccinated when they return to work. Meantime, Google is also postponing a return to the office for most workers until mid-October.
So that was one thing returning. The other thing was something we really haven't seen in this country until now.
President Biden, meanwhile, expected to be on the verge of mandating vaccines or weekly testing for nearly 2 million federal workers.
We've now learned that later today, President Biden will tell federal employees, Americans can do whatever they want, but if you're getting a federal paycheck, getting vaccinated is no longer a suggestion. We're joined now by ABC's chief White House correspondent, Cecilia Vega. Cecilia, what is this mandate going to look like?
Well, it's a mandate that's not technically a mandate, Brad. Welcome to the federal government. We're talking about 2.1 million employees, though. The federal government is actually the largest single employer in this country. So we are talking about a lot of people. And what President Biden wants to do is to make federal employees, all of them, get a vaccine. But they're not going to say, if you don't get a vaccine, you lose your job or you can't come to work. What they're saying is, if you don't have a vaccine, you're going to have to get tested regularly. You're going to have to follow social distancing rules. You're probably not going to be able to do much travel for work if that's part of your job, unless it's really essential. So get a vaccine or else you will face some restrictions and some limitations in the office.
What is the rationale from the Biden administration here? Because they get clearly resisted doing something like this for months, right? What changed?
This is actually a pretty big change.
Americans are asking the question, how will I be able to demonstrate reliably that I've been vaccinated? And you know, we have a couple of core beliefs about that. One is that it's not the role of the government to hold that data and to do that.
But the administration for a long time wanted nothing to do with, call it whatever you want, mandate, requirement, any kind of forcing anybody to get a vaccine, because they didn't want to be seen as big brother state coming in and telling you what to do.
Bringing the CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, right now. Dr. Walensky, thanks for joining us. Again, your decision caught a lot of people by surprise. We've been hearing for weeks that if you take the vaccine, you're safe. What changed?
You know what changed, Brad? The Delta variant changed. The science changed. The administration has said, look, we are seeing numbers as recently as just this week, and we have to do something about that.
But we did, over this last several days now, see new science that demonstrated for those who are vaccinated that they could, in fact, transmit if they are one of those rare breakthrough infections. So that's new.
And what scares them, frankly, is that people who have been vaccinated are still able to give COVID to other people more than I think so many of the scientists realize. So that is what's in the minds of these decision makers. But I'll tell you, Brad, this was not an easy decision for this administration. There were a lot of meetings leading up to this and debates as to whether this is something the president should do. They don't want to be seen as flip-flopping. They don't want to be seen by people who have yet to get the vaccine as the federal government telling them what to do.
Well, and that's the thing, that, you know, the federal government is not telling individual employers around the country what to do. Like, we're not there. But 2.1 million federal employees in this country, that's a lot of people that are about to be affected by this, whether they like it or not. And you know, in certain instances, I'm thinking of some healthcare workers in Texas. We've seen some doctors and nurses expressing concern about mandates when it comes to vaccines. Those are healthcare workers. Are we about to see like a huge cultural tug of war here when it comes to, I don't know, members of law enforcement, federal law enforcement, members of the military who serve under the White House?
Well, you are, on the flip side, also hearing from frontline workers, doctors, large groups of people who say this should be mandated.
So we have mandates for schools. We have mandates for certain jobs. You know, in order for me to have my job, there are certain vaccines and other tests I have to do. So people are sometimes behaving as if this is new and draconian. It is not.
So while there might be those who say we don't want the federal government telling us what to do, there are a number of people on the front lines who firmly believe that lives are at stake.
If we save people's lives and then can work through it with them after, that's still better than having them die.
Would it make you feel safer at work if all your colleagues were vaccinated? I believe so. It would.
That being said, Sal Garcia, who is a fully vaccinated United States postal worker, isn't so sure about requiring the shot.
It's kind of hard for me to say it should be mandated because I feel in this country people should have that choice.
There is a really big question heading into the president's speech today as to whether this White House will end up mandating vaccines for the military. The president has the ability, has the authority to do that as the commander in chief. Right now, as it stands, the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, he said he's not going to be comfortable mandating vaccines for the military until the vaccine has full FDA approval. It just has that emergency use approval right now. So I think that's still off in the future. But the question remains as to when the White House will do this and if they will end up requiring members of the military to get this vaccine.
Right. The question was if the Biden administration would ever pull the trigger on something like this. Now, increasingly, it's just becoming a question of when it gets expanded even further. Big moment here. Cecilia Vega, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brad.
Next up on Start Here, if you thought bipartisan deals were dead, we might have just had a breakthrough. You got a trillion reasons to stick around. We'll be right back. With daylight saving time upon us, we're looking forward to more daylight and longer days from March through November. And while setting our clocks forward gives us the illusion of more time, it doesn't necessarily help businesses find qualified candidates any sooner. Fear not, there is a solution. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is your 24/7 hiring partner working tirelessly to connect you with the right candidate. Once you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it gets distributed to over 100 job sites, ensuring you reach a diverse pool of qualified individuals. Their smart technology scans thousands of resumes, matching you with people whose skills perfectly align with your job requirements. Spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sooner. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/start here. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/start here. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
You may have heard that in Washington now, just on the phone, looks like you reached a bipartisan agreement on infrastructure. Fancy word for bridges, roads.
They've been calling it BIF, a Bipartisan Infrastructure Framework. And clunky acronyms aside, this is a potentially once-in-a-lifetime piece of legislation that would invest huge sums of money in the stuff that experts say has been left to rot for years. Well, last night, BIF became what President Biden has called a BFD, because after a lot of uncertainty, it looks like it might actually happen. ABC's Trish Turner was watching the gears turning around the Capitol last night. Trish, senators were coming out saying, hey, we have a deal, but I'm sorry, haven't I been hearing that like every 2 weeks this entire year? Like, what was different about this so-called deal last night?
At long last, they actually struck a final deal, Brad. It was really something. So, you know, our listeners may have remembered like the end of June, this same group came out with President Biden and they announced a framework deal.
None of us got what we all that we wanted. I clearly didn't get all I wanted.
After like long nights, weekends, I mean, we have been there staking them out late into the night in the basement of the Capitol.
Are you confident you have scores that will show this is incredibly paid for?
Yeah, we have reached agreement, as I said, on the major issues.
Last night, you know, they finally buttoned it up enough so that they could vote to start debate on the bill. They passed a very critical threshold, not only a very critical threshold, but they got the last minute support of the minority leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell. That's a very big deal among Republicans. So we saw 17 Republicans vote with all of the Democrats.
At a time when Washington seems broken, this group of members behind me came together, along with others, and decided we were going to do something great for our country.
And so they've made it across the first threshold, but they've got a long way to go.
Okay, so then what is in this bill? If they buttoned it up a little bit, what are we actually looking at? Explain how significant this could be.
So it's the biggest investment in infrastructure in our lifetimes. I think that's fair to say. It's $550 billion of new spending. So the total price tag on this thing, because there's lots of stuff that's kind of built into the system. So the total price tag for this bill is $1.1 trillion over eight years. It's staggering. So it's tens of billions for broadband, for roads, for bridges. This is all traditional infrastructure.
If you're stuck in bridge traffic in my state or any other state right now, wondering why this bridge in poor condition can't get fixed, help is on its way.
Predictions are already being made that they will get it across the finish line. I think that's an accurate assessment of where things stand. Because one of the other things that's really important, Brad, is that this bill is paid for. They don't raise taxes. That's a Biden and a Republican red line. Really big deal for Republicans, especially.
Therefore, it's not adding to inflation. It actually is counterinflationary. It'll help deal with the very issue we're now facing, which is higher inflation.
But they've got a long way to go to pull this across the threshold. There's another week, maybe 2 weeks. There'll be amendments that come into the picture. The negotiators, they're going to have to fend off some poison pills, to really get this across the finish line. And then it heads to the House. And, you know, they have to hope that things aren't changed.
I can't commit to passing something that I don't even know what it is yet, but I'm hoping for the best.
You still won't put that on the floor until reconciliation is passed the Senate.
Yes.
But if President Biden is saying, you see, I'm bringing both sides together, man, he's also saying that right after this passes, he's going to authorize Democrats to make an even larger spending bill with zero Republican support, right? So is this really a bipartisan effort if you're just going to stick everything you don't get into a bill later that you're going to pass, whether they like it or not?
Yeah, it's a heck of a process, right? So this is a two-act play that we're watching. And so we are only on Act One. It's called bipartisanship. But Act Two, very decidedly a different program altogether. This is going to require total Democratic unity. We've already seen some cracks in that foundation. Senator Kyrsten Sinema, who led the bipartisan infrastructure talks, she's a Democrat from Arizona.
And I think the strength of our vote tonight showed that we have support from both parties, from folks who are fiscally responsible, fiscally conservative.
She's already indicating, hey, that $3.5 trillion price tag, it's too high. This is a big exercise in tightrope walking for just about everyone who wants the bipartisan bill to pass and that $3.5 trillion social infrastructure bill to pass. It's tough.
Right. We always think it's tougher to get the 60 votes in the Senate than 50% in the House. But there are progressives now like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez who say they've been cut out of this process. So not necessarily a given they'll vote yes. But a deal's a deal? Maybe. Trish Turner there in Capitol Hill. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brad.
We have 13 states with 90 large-scale fires, about 1.4 million acres and growing.
Yesterday, the governors of California and Nevada got their first close looks at the damage left behind by a huge fire, the Tamarack Fire, right on the border.
We have 7,600 firefighters battling fires in the state of California. I was telling the governor, already we've had 5,600 wildfires year to date.
And you'd expect this from leaders of Western states. They've seen this before. What you might not expect are concerns from states as far away as Massachusetts.
Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection issuing an air quality alert as plumes of smoke from wildfires out west and in Canada are traveling thousands of miles east to New England.
As wildfires grow, the effects are growing more and more impossible to ignore from people who live nowhere near the flames themselves. ABC's chief meteorologist Ginger Zee is with us. Ginger, it's insane to see wildfire smoke on the East Coast, I'll give you that. But is that just something that happens from time to time? Or do you see this as like a new chapter in the climate change saga?
What I think we're seeing now is we've seen smoky or hazy skies. I've covered it before, where we see that on the East Coast.
At first, it was more of a spectacle and some anticipation of what the sun might look like, particularly.
What we're seeing now, though, is regularly when you get a West Coast fire or a Canadian fire, it goes up to the jet stream, it gets carried in the atmosphere, and it's, you know, it, once in a great while, you'll have it settled down into the lower part of the atmosphere, say, in New York or Massachusetts.
Really beautiful. But then the focus shifted, more of a concern because of the deteriorating air quality.
And because we are having so much more smoke made from the West and in Canada, the number of days that we're going to see that type of subsidence, as we call it, or sinking air, where those particulates that would have just passed gracefully above us in the jet stream are now going to have more chances to get down to the surface.
How dangerous are these plumes of smoke? Are they, I mean, people live in air-polluted cities, and they're like, oh no, I'm scared of the smoke. But they also live like next to a ton of congestion from cars.
Yes, and they all have their own special, unique ways of poisoning you.
Till these winds die down, this fire is unstoppable.
Authorities are trying to put this fire out right now. You can see that helicopter.
The intensity of that is absolutely enormous. The heat is overwhelming.
If you have spent any time near a wildfire where you're really breathing in that particulate...
Okay, that's enough of that.
It is plaguing. It saturates you, and that means it saturates your lungs.
I asked experts what makes wildfires different here, and it really comes down to the types of trees. We have pines and firs, but here it's all eucalyptus trees, and the eucalyptus oil inside is extremely flammable.
And so I'm not in the medical field, but I can tell you from covering numerous wildfires from here to Australia in the bushfires back a couple of years ago, there is nothing like the feeling that your lungs have after being in wildfire smoke.
But even smaller blazes like this brush fire in San Jose overnight causing big problems.
There is a lot of smoke from this fire, and that's why they're asking homeowners to stay inside and keep their doors and windows shut.
So if we start intensifying the ability for that same smoke to make its way thousands of miles and make it down into the lowest levels of our atmosphere where we breathe, we are going to see major impacts.
Dr. Sukarita Kerr is a pulmonologist at Tufts Medical Center. She, along with MassDEP, say people with pre-existing conditions like asthma, chronic bronchitis, COPD, and lung disease should stay out of the elements.
This is probably not a day that you want to go out for a long stroll or heavy exertion or jogging outside.
It is a negative impact on our health.
Well, and that's what I'm wondering. You know, somebody in Reno is clearly going to know why the air is so gross on a given day if there's a fire near them. Doesn't necessarily apply to millions and millions of other people around the country who could, I suppose, have serious health consequences as a result of all this. So, I mean, as this escalates, as it appears it will, I mean, should I be wearing a mask when I see smoke drifting outside my window? Like, what do you do? Like, what is the future of this going to look like?
You know, I wasn't upset that I had my COVID mask around when I was out in Tahoe,
really?
That's for sure, because it can, you know, maybe that does become part of it. And we've seen cultures, Asian cultures do this, both for the particulate matter there, but also, you know, in Siberia, they have incredible wildfires that smoke gets translated other places. So yes, I think that we will have to come up with something, especially for people who are sensitive to this, or athletes, or people who need to keep their lungs primarily clean, right? I think about the future just with the acreage alone and in the places that they are always going to be breathing this way. Does it become a time of year, and this is going to sound extreme, but Native Americans, for example, lived transiently. When it was wildfire season, they moved, right? And now I'm not saying that we move every wildfire season, but in this interim, do we find a way to adapt that keeps our health not at risk, you know, that doesn't require moving to a totally different region? And what does that look like? I don't know what that looks like.
With over 51 million people living on the West Coast, more and more people are forced to build new homes in high fire danger zones.
It makes the job of fighting fire and living with wildfire more difficult because we are scattered so far across the landscape.
How are we going on this rapid rate without seeing extreme impact to our health? It's impossible not to.
Right, and migration patterns do change, and the thing you often see is people who have the means to get on their jet and go to a different part of the country for the summer, that they have the money to do that. The people who don't are often the ones left behind. Ginger Z, really interesting. Thanks so much.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, dude, you're getting Adele, unless you live in these six states. One Last Thing is next.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
And one last thing. When you think of a computer game, you might envision someone playing on just a regular computer. You know, it's got Microsoft Word and PowerPoint, and there are a few games on it. But because of the insane amount of computing power it takes to run modern games, there are brands like Alienware, owned by Dell, that makes super high-powered equipment, built especially for gaming.
Your license to game without limits.
The only thing is, if you live in California, you can't buy some of Alienware's latest gaming PCs. Dell literally will not ship them there, or to Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Vermont, or Hawaii.
After spending $4,000 and nearly maxing out every single spec on this machine,
these are all states that have imposed strict limits on how much energy certain products can use, including basic consumer electronics. If you go over the limit, you're out. The game changer here was California.
Drought connects wildfires. Wildfires connect with energy reliability and grid. Climate change is real. It's here. The hots are getting hotter.
New environmental rules took effect earlier this month that are even more hardcore than the federal government's. It's not the first time we've seen this. Years ago, auto manufacturers had to switch gears when California cracked down on emissions.
106 degrees. We're smoking pretty good out of the box. This is clearly not going to work for intensive gaming or mining.
Some gamers, which have been stockpiling games throughout this pandemic, say this ban on certain Alienware products is overkill. But just this week, California is once again warning customers about potential electricity shortages. Bitcoin servers, they say, are sucking up insane amounts of energy. We just talked about fires in the state. I mean, computers are no longer just like having another microwave or air conditioner in the house. As a result, that sweet gaming rig you were dreaming of might have just become illegal. But so wait, Super Mario Kart, that's still all right, right? Okay, yes, our producer Kelly is saying yes. She's been gaming nonstop for like 18 months, so I trust her. Hey, cool thing, if you go to Spotify right now, there's a whole section of Disney podcasts, which now includes Start Here. So if your family members are like, wait, that guy doesn't sound like Moana, you can tell them, oh, that's Brad. I've heard that podcast. It's really good. Check it out. More on all these stories at abcnews.com or the ABC News app. I'm Brad Milkey. See you tomorrow.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table.
What is happening here?
It's just beautiful chaos.
Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view.
To be honest, I was thinking about asking him for a foot massage, and then I just froze.
This is the best gig on TV.
And you know, anything can happen.
That is what we do here.
I'm not going to lie, the chair's a little small for my behind.
The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.